I'd like to read in the book of Numbers, and reading from verse 7. And Moses sent them to search out the land of Canaan, and said to them, Go up this way by the south, and go up into the hill country, and ye shall see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell in it, whether they are strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it is good or bad, and what cities they are that they dwell in, whether in camps or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it is fat or lean, whether there are trees in it or not, and take courage and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first grapes. And they went up and searched out the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob, where one comes towards Hamath. And they went up by the south and came to Hebron and to Haman, Sheshiah and Talmai. The children of Anak were there. Now Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came as far as the valley of Eshcol, cut down thence a branch with one bunch of grapes, and they bore it between two upon a pole, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. That place was called the valley of Eshcol, because of the grapes which the children of Israel had cut down there. And they returned from searching out the land after 40 days. And they came and went to Moses and to Aaron, and to the whole assembly of the children of Israel, to the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word to them, and to the whole assembly, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him, and said, We came to the land to which thou didst send us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Only the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Amalek dwells in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the side of the Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up boldly and possess it, for we are well able to do it. But the men that went up with him said, We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought to the children of Israel an evil report of the land which they had searched out, saying, The land which we have passed through to search it out is a land that eateth up its inhabitants, and all the people that we have seen in it are men of great stature. And there have we seen giants. The sons of Anak are of the giants. And we were in our sight as grasshoppers, and so we were also in their sight. Chapter 14, verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, of them that searched out the land, rent their garments. And they spoke to the whole assembly of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it out is a very, very good land. If Jehovah delight in us, He will bring us into this land and give it us a land that flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against Jehovah, and fear not the people of the land, for they shall be our food. The book of Daniel, chapter 11. Page 1083. Chapter 11. In the middle part of verse 32. But the people that know their God shall be strong and shall act. And they that are wise among the people shall instruct the many. Finally, in Hebrews chapter 4. I'm reading from verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you might seem to have failed of it. For indeed we have had glad tidings presented to us, even as they also. But the word of the report did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard. For we enter into the rest who have believed, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works had been completed from the foundation of the world. For he has said somewhere of the seventh day thus, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And in this again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some entered in it, into it, and those who first received the glad tidings did not enter in on account of not hearkening to the word. Again he determines a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, according as it has been said before, today, if he will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. I would like to say a word, beloved, with the help of the Lord, about the gospel of the land. I suppose we're all familiar with the gospel of salvation here. Thank God for the gospel of salvation. Thank God it's still being preached. Otherwise you and I wouldn't be here tonight. You can thank God for that. You young people, I hope you know what the gospel of salvation means. It really means my extrication from Egypt, from the world. And I come to put my faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus. That's the wonderful gospel of salvation. And that's basic in the soul of every one of us here tonight. Have I a living link with the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior? But I want to speak, beloved, of the gospel of the land. Perhaps we don't hear very much about it today, but I would certainly like to be an exponent of it, at any rate, in my measure. Because I'd like to join with Caleb and say to you tonight, it's a very, very good land. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And I'm sure that there are many in this room tonight who are enjoying the fruits of the land. But my exercise in coming here tonight is that the truth of the gospel of the land may be understood by even the youngest here. Now here's this wonderful scene that perhaps you've read about many, many times. And Moses, in the wonderful instruction for his people, he says, now I want to send 12 of you, and I want you to go and search out the land. And I want you to tell me whether it's good or bad, what kind of people are in it, what kind of cities there are in it, and I want you to come again and bring me just your impression of the land. I wonder, beloved, tonight, if we were asked that question, you go and tell me what you think of the land. I wonder how many of us would fare very far. I say that to myself. But I wonder in the wonderful instruction that Moses has here for his people. And remember, there are two very interesting men that are sent. And one is called Jehoshua, that's his name, Jehoshua and Caleb. They stand out distinct. In fact, if you look at the note, Jehoshua really says, is Saviour. I think that's intended for us to remind us that the Lord is even prepared to go with us, typically, so that we might have a real understanding of what the land is. You have Caleb too, another very interesting servant of the Lord. And he is marked by faithfulness, by the spirit of continuance. And that's a word I would say to all of us, including myself, beloved, that we need to be marked by the spirit of continuance. You know, there are many who want to give up just at the last point before the Lord comes. And when I read of Caleb, it says elsewhere, a man of another spirit. And God says, because he has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land. I love to speak of Caleb. Mr. Coates says, I believe, you know, that there's a little bit of Caleb in every sincere, true heart that loves Christ. I'd like to be amongst them, dear brethren. A little bit of Caleb. A little bit of the desire to continue faithful to the Lord until he actually comes. Now, you might have said to me, well, you could have read from Deuteronomy 1. So I could have done. But there, it doesn't give you, it gives you there the whole impression of a land. Deuteronomy 1, it says, a land, yes, full of water brooks, gushing forth into valleys. Very invigorating. But what interested me here was, you don't get anything about the land. You just get the word to go in and tell Moses what you think of it. You know, as I pondered it, I thought, well, that's just the position at the moment, dear friend. What can we say livingly of our impressions of the land? Now you say to me, well, what is the land? I think the land is that there's something very precious that God has got in his heart for every true believer to enjoy. Spiritually, I mean. God has got something in his heart for us livingly to enjoy. Not future, but now. Here and now. And I believe it really relates to those who are risen with Christ, who've known what it is to go through experience after experience until you arrive at something in your soul substantially of the work of God. Now this, beloved, is what is going through into the eternal day. We might say, from one point of view, well, they're going, and they're going, and what they say will prove just where they are in their soul. You know, sometimes we say things, I don't know whether we say them glibly or whether we think about them, but often the things that we say reveal the state of heart that I may be in. Think about that. I may say certain things, I may even criticize certain things, but deep down I might be criticizing what really belongs to Christ, what is for the glory of God. And therefore it shows, beloved, how careful we need to be to bring back this accurate report, not what others have said, it's easy to say that, but what you have experienced and what I have experienced in divine grace. Now I believe that this is what tests us at the present time as to what we can actually say by personal experience of the enjoyment of the inheritance. Thank God we do enjoy it. And I long tonight, through our being together, beloved, that there might be an increase of enjoyment in the things that relate to our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. One would long to get an impression that something of the greatness and glory of this may come into our hearts perhaps as never before. Now, in our reading it says, now the time was the time of the first grapes. That's lovely. Do you know, I verily believe that we're in the time of the first grapes. I don't think it's too much to say that. I believe for us, it really means that we're in the day of the Spirit. Typically, there's a day in which we are to enjoy the things of God to the utmost. You say, well, things are small. Yes, I grant you that. Not very many, no. There are only 12 here. Good company. Thank God for 12. I think it shows us, I believe, that we can come down to smallness and yet, in the ways of God, experience something of divine help and support. Remember, Jehoshua is going with them, which is a type of Christ. And remember, Caleb is also with them as well. Two great stalwarts, we may say, reverently speaking, to help us on to enjoy the great things that God has prepared for. So they make this journey, and it says they searched out the land, and it says, and the children of Anak were there. I don't want to go into all the detail, but the first thing that's encountered is the remark, the children of Anak are there. Oh, who are they? You say, I thought this was a heavenly opening for me to enjoy spiritually divine things. Yes, it is. But let us also be reminded that they also come to the place which is called Hebron. Hebron's a very interesting place. Hebron is a place of companionship, company. And dear brethren, I would venture to say, when that there is any attempt by any one of us to seek out the right company and the things that relate to the service of God, be aware that there will always be conflict, because it costs something to secure what is for the delight and pleasure of God himself. It costs something. And you say, well now, why should these kind of men be here? And I'll again refer you to what a servant of the Lord said. All the time you have your eye on men, you haven't got your eye on the person of Christ. You know, that was a word to me when I read that. How many of us, and we have to say that as we go over our history, how many of us have had our eye on persons? I say that to my shame. But I believe the time has come, beloved, when we're to have our eye alone on the person of Christ. I'd like to refer you to a verse in Colossians where it says, see that there be no one who shall lead you astray as a prey through philosophy and vain deceit, according to the teachings of men and not according to Christ. That's the giants. That's the children of Anak. There they are. And they have to be encountered. Conflict may come in order that I may get past, we might say, the things that would hinder me so that I can really enjoy the inheritance of the full. Now I believe, if I speak for any of us, that's where many dear brethren are at the present time. Persons loom up in their minds. They start speaking about a position. And I say to you tonight that the position is Christ. Thank God for that. I think in his grace and love, he's been bringing us back to appreciate the glory of his person alone. Philosophy and vain deceit, the teachings of men. This is what they encountered typically as they went to search out the land. And I'm not saying anything different, beloved, to what has been said before. But I trust I say it tonight, a little in the power of the Spirit in which to attract our hearts livingly to the glory of the person of Christ. If you see giants in the land, if the difficulties loom up, then I say you've got man before you and not Christ. Yes, I say that to my own heart. But take courage. Hebron is there, a place of companionship. Zoan is also there. That's also we have to remember. Zoan is the place of departure. Hebron is the place of company. Which would you rather enjoy tonight? Which are you enjoying? Are you enjoying something of the glory and blessedness of Christ raised from among the dead? Colossians tells us, if ye therefore be raised with the Christ, seek the things which are above, where the Christ is sitting. Wonderful thing to have your eye tonight directed onto the person of the Lord Jesus. There's departure on the one hand. That is Zoan. But my scripture reminds us, it says here, now Hebron had been built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. What does that mean? You've been chosen in Christ before the world's foundation. Isn't that lovely? Built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. I think it's to remind us of the purposes of God for us. The Lord could say, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And God, as it were tonight, would remind us, every one of us, even the young ones, that you've been chosen in Christ before the world's foundation. You belong to him. And God is saying to us tonight, as if he is just sounding us out, God has a right to do that. What kind of state is in me? Or what kind of state is in one another? Is it really something that you're delighting in? Are your lips, beloved, speaking something of the glory and blessedness of what you've been brought through? The beautiful hymn that we've sung at the beginning, written by beloved Mr. Darby, I believe he wrote that from personal experience. He said, is the desert before you, or is the land before you? He reminds us of the great purposes of God for us. And I believe God would do that in this little time tonight together, to remind us of what he's got for us. But then, when we encounter these two things, I believe that we begin to make a move spiritually. We begin to realize that we need companionship. And so we're very thankful for Christian fellowship, aren't we? I'd like to say that to our younger brethren, seek Christian fellowship. And seek company that will help you spiritually. Seek company that will guide you in the path of his will. Don't be put off by persuasive speech. You know there's a lot of persuasive speech at the moment. And we have to test those things by scripture. Is it of God? Or where does it come from? These are the kind of things, I believe, of philosophy and vain deceit, the teachings of men, and not according to the teaching of Christ. Therefore, these are the kind of things that we encounter on the journey. Therefore, let us be alert, beloved, to see that we're imbibing right teaching, something which will give God glory and praise, and something which will keep our hearts in the pathway of his will. You know, there's often a lot of natural excitement at the present time. Let us beware of these things. Are they of God? You know, I love to think, just to divert for a moment, that when the Holy Spirit, it says, descended as a dove upon the person of Christ, think of the sweetness, the lowliness, the softness of the touch of the Spirit. Is it to excite the flesh? It's to bring out the glory and magnificence of the person of Christ, isn't it? I just say that in passing to help us to realize that there is what is sober, what is genuine in the souls of the people of God that God loves to take account of at the present time. So let these things, therefore, help us to see that as we move forward into this land and the next thing we encounter, they came as far as the valley of Eshcol. Oh, I love that place. Place of grapes. Have you ever been there? Have you ever enjoyed Christian liberty and joy? The profusion of joy is Eshcol. Dear brethren, we could well do with a little bit more joy in our companies, couldn't we? We could well do to have a visit to Escol and to find that wonderful bunch of grapes there, which I think brings out the wonderful joy that marks this land and the joy of it. Christian experience, something to lift us up, to make us rejoice. Sometimes you say to people, or you hear them say, I hardly think it's worth going on. That's very sad to hear that. I'd have to say to you or to my heart, have you been to Escol lately? Have you had a visit into the land? Oh, you know, things are too difficult. Things are too difficult. Then you might be maybe marked by the spirit of unbelief. I have to say that to my own heart. I may, as it says in the Epistle to the Hebrews, that they did not enter on account of unbelief and hardness of heart. I wouldn't like to think that anybody was like that. I'd like to feel that the experiences that God brings us into is to set us free and make us happy on the Christian road. These things are wonderful. A bunch of grapes. Very attractive, isn't it? And it says they bore them upon a pole. Upon a pole. And there were other things, of course, that they brought. They brought pomegranates and figs. All very suggestive. Pomegranates perhaps would make us think of unity. You think of all those little seeds in a pomegranate. Very suggestive for us of how the saints are really to be set together in companies. You can understand a little of the scripture using diligence to keep the unity of the spirit and the uniting bond of peace. Unity, a very necessary word for us at the present time. When there's disunity abroad on every hand, there is what is to be experienced in true unity according to God. Figs, the sweetness of the fellowship, the sweetness of what concerns the interests of our Lord Jesus. And all these things, I believe, beloved, are to make us realize are the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. I say again, are you enjoying it? I'm enjoying it. Even as I speak to you, I'm enjoying something of the preciousness of these things. And would to God tonight that all of us in this room enjoy them a little more. Something of the fruit of the land. They brought it, you see. Sometimes people say we had a good time. That's all you hear. Oh, what was the evidence? Oh, we just had a wonderful time. God wants more than that. He wants the evidence of the land. Have you brought a bunch of grapes lately? Have you bought some pomegranates? Or some figs? You see, it was really the testimony of the Lord. It was the gospel of the land. There it was, an undeniable evidence of what God had secured for His people. And they come along, it says, and after 40 days they came and went to Moses and to Aaron, to the whole assembly, and brought back word to them, and to the whole assembly, and showed them the fruit of the land. All very fine. They actually showed them the fruit of the land. It says, we came to the land which thou didst send us, surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Or you say, well, that's wonderful. You've come back now, and you've given a little resume of what you've experienced. But this is the point, beloved, when we need to beware. Whilst we may be enjoying the greatest things that could possibly be afforded to us as believers, remember that the enemy of our souls is always there. And it says, only the people are strong that dwell in the land. Cities are walled, very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And so on. You see, it's possible to experience something of the greatest things. And then, when you look around and you find others that are being deflected, others that feel like giving up and saying, well, no, it's too much for me. Just at that point, just at the point where we might be needed most in the testimony, the inclination is to give up. Could that be true of any one of us here tonight? Do you want to give up? Or you say, yes, things are too much. They're too difficult. Things are too small. Oh, I would like to encourage you, beloved, to go on. You know, just at this point, it says, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go boldly and possess it, for we are well able to do it. Thank God for a faithful man like Caleb. I would have loved to have heard him. Let us go up. We're well able to do it. That is the voice of a faithful man. And beloved, what is needed at the present time is faithfulness for the Lord. Conviction that where you are, set in your locality and mine, you're set there for the interests of the blessed God. And I believe he's stirring our hearts tonight to see that there's a little bit of movement towards himself and a definiteness to hold on to what has been committed in wonderful grace. It says, but the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Oh, you know, if only we had Christ before us. The difficulties that become mountains would soon disappear. The word of those men were that we're well able to do it. They go on and give the description, Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, of them that searched out the land, rent their garments, and they spoke to the whole assembly of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it out is a very, very good land. If Jehovah delight in us, he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Beloved, I pause at this time. If Jehovah delight in us, he'll bring us into it. Think of those two men. I believe, you know, it suggests to me the spirit of the present time, the urgency to accept the faithful word and to go on. A land flowing with milk and honey. Nourishment from something higher than what belongs down here. We need it. Honey. The idea of mutuality and sweetness. I think when we go over these things, we have to say that the fellowship of God's Son is very sweet. There are some who are isolated in other parts of the world who would long to be together tonight as we. Let us value the things that belong to our inheritance. The word is, let us go in, for we are well able to do it. Don't be put off by the difficulties. Don't be put off by the circumstances. Don't even be put off by those who may dissuade you otherwise. Let that little bit of Caleb rise up in you tonight. And that little bit of Caleb in me. And say, we're going to go on. We're going to go on. And we're going to be faithful to the Lord. Isn't it a gospel? Gospel of the land? I think it is. And the more you think about it, the more you say, I want to enjoy it. And I'd like to tell others about it. And now, dear beloved, what have you got? What do you say with your lips? Do you complain? Or do you speak well of what God has brought you into? Things that loom up, seem impossible? The spirit of Caleb and the spirit of Joshua are needed at the present time. We're well able to do it. A land flowing with milk and honey. But the word is, only rebel not against Jehovah, and fear not the people of the land, for they shall be our food. There's the word. If we've got Christ before us, we shall have the power to overcome and to be marked here in faithfulness to the Lord. Well now, I want to just refer to that scripture in Daniel. Not that I want to dwell on it, but I was very affected by it. It says, but the people that know their God shall be strong and shall act, and they that are wise among the people shall instruct the many. People that know their God. Caleb knew his God. Joshua knew his God. They shall act and be strong. Maybe we've come to a point in our soul history where there's a need to act. A need to be freshly committed. They that know their God shall act and shall be strong. And it says, and they that are wise among the people shall instruct the many. So thank God for the spirit of wisdom. All in the person of Christ has been made unto us wisdom. And beloved, isn't these good tidings to speak of tonight to one another? Isn't it good to go over these holy things and to be reminded of the great purposes of God? Not to dwell on what is negative, but to dwell on what is positive and what relates to what is going through into the eternal day. Now, I read in the epistle to the Hebrews, because it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of entering into his rest, any one of you might seem to have failed. For if indeed we have had glad tidings presented to us, even as they also. They had glad tidings presented to them. The gospel of the Lamb. Yes? You say, what was the glad tidings? The bunch of grapes? The pomegranates? The figs? And the undeniable evidence of those that went. But it says they had glad tidings presented to them, even as they also, but the word of the report did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard. Now I trust that tonight this will never be said of any one of us. The spirit of unbelief. The spirit of always questioning things. Beloved, it's very prone with us. Let us take the truth of Scripture as it is and believe it and come into the enjoyment of it. May there be faith operating in this company tonight so that there might be some evidence which will bring fruitfulness to God's glory and praise and a sense of encouragement amongst us. We need one another. We need company. We need our hearts cheered and stimulated. I believe God would do that in an occasion like this tonight, to cheer our hearts. But let us not be marked by the spirit of unbelief. Not even say, oh well, this is all right for some, but not for me. No, God's intention is that you personally are to enjoy something of the gospel of the Lamb. You're to have the experience. You're to go in. You're to give that report. You're to say what you're enjoying. Think of the one who could say, I speak of the things composing the king, touching the king. I will say what I have written, composed, touching the king. My pen is the tongue of a ready writer. What have you composed? What have I composed? Something which will give God glory and be an encouragement to us where we are in our localities. You say, well, I feel exercised, and so do I. But the spirit of these things may mark us increasingly. Day grows difficult and more difficult, then I believe the experience of the Lamb grows more real until we're actually ushered in to the presence of our Lord and Savior. So that it says, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works had been completed from the foundation of the world, for he has said somewhere of the seventh day thus, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And then it says, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some entered into it, and those who first received the glad tidings did not enter into it, on account of not hearkening to the word. Didn't really believe it after all. I feel the edge of this word, beloved, tonight. And I believe it comes back to our own soul experience with God. Because it's that which is going through. But there may be the element even in my heart or yours of unbelief, or even not hearkening to the word. Let it be tonight that I'll hearken. Scripture says, today, after so long a time, according as it has been said before, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. The voice of the Lord is still to be heard, thank God for that. And today is still with us. It's the Spirit's day. And today, if we'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. You may say, it's rather a gospel appeal. Maybe it is. The Lord knows. But I just trust with all my heart that tonight we may be marked by definiteness and faithfulness to the Lord in the grace he's called us, and to thoroughly enjoy divine things. May the Lord bless us who's coming here tonight. And may we go away with something in our hearts, perhaps as never before. Remember, Caleb had the land in